Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're familiar to Ash Wednesday, it may seem strange to you that we have begun this season with the scripture, with the gospel that we just heard. We often hear about Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples at the end of Lent, on Maundy Thursday specifically, at the beginning of the holy 3 days that include Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter. But today marks the beginning of a journey that we take together, a journey of these 40 days of Lent where we'll focus together on the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. In those 24 hours, beginning Thursday evening after sunset and lasting on through Friday, Jesus would eat the Last Supper with his disciples, pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, be betrayed and deserted by his friends, be convicted of blasphemy by the religious authorities, be tried and sentenced for insurrection by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, be tortured by Roman soldiers, and finally undergo crucifixion, death, and burial. All in 24 hours, 24 hours that would change the world forever. The Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in the city of Corinth, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." These last 24 hours on which we focus that led to Jesus' death and resurrection represent the height of the gospel, the most important thing that gathers us each and every week, the completion of God's saving work through Jesus. And that will be the aim of our Lenten journey together this year. To better understand and see more clearly the significance of the events of those last 24 hours of Jesus' life, and to reflect on the meaning of those events for each of us, for your lives. So our journey begins tonight with the Last Supper. Imagine, if you can, being in that room with Jesus, preparing to celebrate the Passover with him. Little did they know that this would be his last, and yet they have celebrated Passover together many times. In this meal, the Passover, Jews literally reenact the story of their ancestors, the story that they were slaves in Egypt, being freed by God through Moses. You go into that meal as a slave, and by the end of the night, you are free. But that night with Jesus was different. It began with a festive and celebratory mood, as it often does, but it changed throughout the course of the evening. See, everyone was conscious of the tension that had been happening in Jerusalem those days, the tension between Jesus and the religious leaders, and they all wondered what would happen to Jesus and to them. He had made quite a scene in the temple earlier that day, upsetting the money changers' tables, accusing the priests of profaning God's house. Would there be negative consequences to his actions? Surely. But how far would they go? Or would he finally proclaim himself as the Messiah and bring God's reign? Well, Jesus, in that meal, cut through the uncertainty with a statement that was so electric that it still echoes across the centuries, even to us today. He says, "One of you," and looks around them all in the stillness of the celebration, "one of you will betray me." "Surely not I," they all asked. "Surely not I. I wouldn't do a thing like that to you, Jesus." It is one of the 12, and it's the one who is dipping his bread in the bowl next to me. And just like that, Judas' motivations are exposed. Now, we're often pretty hard on Judas, But the story of betrayal runs deep throughout the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. Before the night is over, sure, Judas would betray Jesus, but also Peter would deny that he even knew Jesus. And all the rest of the disciples would desert him, leaving him completely alone as he stood trial as a perversion of justice. Whenever we come here, whenever we receive Holy Communion, we would do well to remember this part of the story, to remember this part of the meal where Jesus pauses and says, "One of you will betray me," when he acknowledged that his closest friends would betray him, would deny him, would desert him, and yet he still ate with them. It's why we almost always begin our worship with confession, to acknowledge the ways and the times that we perhaps have betrayed Jesus, the ways that we have denied Jesus, the ways that we have even deserted Jesus. And so tonight on Ash Wednesday, in a moment, we will have a particularly long confession. Make sure we catch it all, you know? A confession to acknowledge that we're human. A confession to acknowledge that our lives are finite and fragile, that we're immersed in the sin and the tragedy that's constantly present in our world and in our lives. Tonight we confess and we confess and we confess, and we mark ourselves with ashes as a reminder that we are formed from the dust of the earth. And to the dust we shall return. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Every one of us, without exception. And that is the cause of much anxiety and sin and brokenness. And yet, in spite of it all, this season of Lent is not meant, I think, to be a dark season. Now, you wouldn't always know that when you look at some people and the way that we live this season. It's not this long season of sad faces and guilt and punishing ourselves for not living up to God's expectations. This season is a time and a season to honor the broken places, to acknowledge those broken places in our lives, to remember that those broken places are the very cracks where God's light shines into our lives. Think back to Jesus' Last Supper. After acknowledging that he would be betrayed and denied and deserted by his closest friends, he still ate with them. He took a piece of bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and then he did something really strange. See, this was all part of the Passover meal. Nothing is different yet. But then he says, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you." Whoa. What does he mean? What is he saying? And then he took the cup. Most likely it's the third of four cups of wine that are commonly drunk at the Passover celebration. And again, he puzzled them saying, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." He knew that he would be betrayed and denied and deserted, and he still ate with them, and it is still the same for us today. This meal that we celebrate has become a place where God's grace and forgiveness shines into our cracks, into our brokenness, and draws us in together with God, even though we are surrounded by constant reminders that we are broken. Finite, in need, insufficient, sinful, betrayers, deniers, deserters. Our bodies bear the mark of death, which is why in a moment we'll also receive those ashes. without exception, each of us will die. And so we take sanctuary from those reminders to come here today and to receive. Today we receive the meal of Christ's presence. When we receive ashes, we receive the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, looking past their betrayal to promise his presence with them always, even after his death. Where the Passover meal had been the celebration of God's freeing of the Israelite slaves, it was from the moment of Jesus' Last Supper the story of God's freeing of all humanity from slavery to sin and death. In that moment, God gave the entire human race new life and new beginning. God looked through the faults of humanity, through those cracks that we bear, and he said, "Here I am for you. My body is broken, my blood is poured out for you." Tonight we also receive ashes, and we hear reminders from words from Scripture. "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." How terrifying, right? None of us wants to acknowledge that. How terrifying, and yet how beautiful at the same time, that God loves us even when we are nothing more than dirt and ash, cracked vessels that we are. We're anointed. We're marked with the cross of Jesus in our baptism and throughout our lives, and tonight we make that same mark with ash as a startling reminder that those last 24 hours of Jesus' life is a way that God sort of scoops up the dirt and the ash and enters into a relationship with us, a relationship to promise new life and forgiveness, to grant us love no matter what we may do. Jesus breaks the bread and pours out the wine just as his body and blood are broken and poured out. He is broken to heal our brokenness. So for these 40 days of Lent, I invite you on a journey with me. A journey to respond to God's grace by reflecting on those last 24 hours of Jesus' life that changed the world. Respond by deepening our prayer life to connect with God. Respond with acts of love and service that perhaps if it weren't a season like this, we might just go on about our way not thinking about it. Respond to God's grace by reflecting on God's word for us, finding time and space in your life to fill it with something productive like reading the Bible, praying to God, sitting in the presence of God. None of this to just simply be better Christians. None of this to make God happy, to earn God's love, but to respond in gratitude for what God has done for us. We who are betrayers and deniers and deserters. We who are as good as ash and dust. And yet we who are marked with the cross of Christ. In just 24 hours, Jesus changed the world. Today, it begins with you and with me. God forgiving you, loving you, all in this meal and in this mark of the cross. Thanks be to God. Amen.